Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, that's 12 to 3 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. The Doug Gottlieb Show is broadcast live from sunny Southern California. We'll talk some Dodger baseball upcoming in 15 minutes. Also, when a coach makes a point, states his point, supports his point, the point is played in its entirety and then says, you got me, it's out of context. We'll get to that. Brandon Whedon will join us. Of course, former Oklahoma State star and a former starting quarterback in the NFL, first-round pick with the Browns, who play tonight with the Cowboys, who are a talk of everything in college football, NFL football, and the Texans, of course. And he told us a long time ago, Deshaun Watson will never play for the Texans again. Of course, that was before we knew about all the off-the-field stuff. But we'll discuss the Deshaun Watson potential trade, which was leaked yesterday. Josh Jacobs had some interesting comments. Mike Gundy is going to join us. The undefeated Oklahoma State Cowboys had a huge fourth quarter comeback win against Texas. We'll ask him about the strategy behind the comeback upcoming. So we got a ton to get to. NBA basketball was great last night. You know, I don't know how many people have, if you're not a New Yorker, you're like, the Garden thing, the Knicks aren't good. There are some special places on this planet in terms of each sport. When the Knicks are competitive and the Garden is good, basketball is better. Last night was fun. It was fun. That was that the epitome. You know, we're told when you start in this business, like, stay away from cliches. But a cliche is that's what sports are all about. That is what sports are all about. That's it. That's what sports are about. But let's get to tonight. Tonight, you're going to have more NBA. You have the potential end of the Dodgers' historic season. But you also have Thursday night football. And this is a game where I think on paper, if you didn't know the health of each roster, you would say Browns, Thursday night football, one of the top five rosters in football. But then you look at what they're throwing out there, and you're like, yee. Case Keenum's their starting quarterback. Here's his thoughts on this opportunity.
I'm built for this. This is what I've done my whole career, not knowing if I'm going to start up until game time, to not knowing who's out there with me, to introducing myself to players while I'm calling a play type stuff. So, you know, I'm excited. What better chance to take advantage of an opportunity than on Thursday night football? I know these opportunities don't get come around very often to be a starting quarterback in this league, only 32, you know, per week. So I'm ready to take advantage of it.
Remember, Teddy Bridgewater got hurt on Sunday when Graham Glasgow stepped on him as he threw a touchdown pass. But Bridgewater's going to play, although he's listed as questionable. Right? The Broncos have lost three straight. They started out 3-0. That decline began when Teddy Bridgewater originally got hurt. This is coming off of Von Miller saying, I have no idea who's going to be blocking me, but I'm going to kill him anyway. So there's a bunch to it. There's a bunch to it. And remember, this is a Vic Fangio defense that specializes, or at least his MO was specialized in takeaways. Broncos have forced only 39 turnovers, six this season, but 39 turnovers during his 38 games, his tenure. That's lower than his predecessors. So they're not able to be as good defensively as Fangio's teams normally are. And Teddy Bridgewater, not great when he's healthy, but better than Drew Locke, but still kind of banged up. This is an ugly football game. These are 2-3-3 teams, but not really a representation of who the Browns are because, well, they're not going to have Kareem Hunt. And they're not going to have Baker Mayfield. And they're not going to have their starting tackles. And they're a bit of a mess. It's interesting that Monday night games have been better than ever before. Thursday night games, for the most part, have been worse than before. And this is, in fact, the failings of the Thursday night schedule. again, this is me agreeing and disagreeing with all these NFL players and coaches and analysts, because I agree with you. You can't really play on a Sunday and turn around and play on a Thursday, especially once you get 3 or 4 weeks in the season when everybody's already beaten up and you haven't had a bye yet. But there's just no other way in which you can replace all of that revenue. This is the same discussion we have with Major League Baseball, where anybody who watches Major League Baseball is like, man, why don't they play more games that matter instead of just overall games? And the problem is 162 games pays everybody's bills. Not just the players, not just the managers, not just the front office, all of the vendors, all of the stadiums, all of the surrounding restaurants, parking, all that stuff. They need the volume, and it matches up historically with what they've done. Would everybody prefer to be 50 games less and expanded playoffs and it mean more? Sure, but it just doesn't work in the economy of scale, doesn't work. And the same is true with the NFL. Once you took those big paychecks on Thursday night, it doesn't matter if you like them or don't like them. It doesn't matter if the games are kind of pathetic because it's a shell of the normal makeup of your roster. One, because they're already beaten up. And two, because you're on a short week and there's no time to truly get healthy. Doesn't matter. You got to play a game. You got to collect the money. In order to make the money, you got to play the game on that set day. You can't do it on Friday. You can't do it on Saturday. You got to do it on Thursday. It's a terribly successful idea. That's what it is. Whereas the Monday night games, and guys get an extra day to prepare, coaches get an extra day to prepare, what do you get? You get better football. And that's what we've had. You know, they've given ESPN a little bit better matchups, but part of it is guys are just a little bit more rested, a little bit more healthy. Hey, you know, I probably couldn't have gone if it's Sunday, but Monday I can't. I think that's the real secret here. Is that Thursday night is exactly what everybody thought it was. It's too close together. It's a, you know what, it's a crap show. And it's simply to make money, but it's not going away, no matter how much you dislike it. Monday night, which people thought could maybe go away because the matchups weren't good for so long. Now you start to get really good games because teams are able to use that extra time to prepare. The Browns, by the way, are a 1.5 favorite. The over-under is 40.5. Yikes. I mean, do we know who the starting running back is for the Cleveland Browns tonight? Does anybody know?
It's going to be D'Ernest Johnson is the guy. Demetric Felton is another guy that could get some work as well.
I mean, and Dan Byer, just so you know, like, how does Dan Byer know this? One, he knows a ton. And two, I Want Your Flex is the podcast. And obviously,
fantasy football.
If you're going to do a fantasy football podcast, you better know about who's the third running back with the top two out.
And Eric Metcalf is questionable tonight for Cleveland. So it's a joke.
I understand. But, for a second there.
Byer.
Eric Metcalf's son is playing?
You know, we talked to Ernest Byner earlier this week. I figured I'd switch it up with some Metcalf.
No, I was for a second there, you know. Baker Mayfield out, Nick Chubb out, Kareem Hunt out. Andy Jovanovich out. Odell Beckham Jr. Is OBJ out or not? I don't know. Ryan Switzer out. Jedrick Wills out. J.C. Treader out. Jack Conklin out. Jadeveon Clowney, I think, likely out. Malik Jackson's out. Like, they're so banged up.
Yeah, I don't think you'll see OBJ tonight.
No. They've been a shell of himself, too. He has not been... He does not have that, whatever that special something he had previously. And I understand some of it is the offense isn't built for him. But wow, you know. But I look at this game and we can all complain about it, but we all know why it's being done. You know, it's being done so that everybody gets more money. And this is professional sports. There is no way to move it. There's no way to replace it. There's a way, I still believe, in which you could have teams coming off of a bye playing in it. I don't think that's a bad idea, but all these players are right. You don't have the time to prepare. You don't have the time to get your body right. It just doesn't, but it makes so much money. You got to go, okay. Okay, we'll do it.
This is the best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
All right, Mike Gundy's going to join us in a second. He's the head coach of Oklahoma State. It's my alma mater. It's his alma mater as well. I thought, here's the number one thing I want to ask him. Okay, did and I don't know if you guys watched the game. I don't know if you guys watched the game. So they're playing Texas, and what's crazy is before he became coach of Oklahoma State, they hadn't beaten Texas at Texas since I think 1944. Now they weren't in the same league, but they weren't in the same league either, right? But they won 6 out of 7 in Austin. That's crazy. Crazy. But what fascinated me is the third quarter, he's got this star running back and he didn't play in the third quarter. And then the fourth quarter, the kid has like 170 yards rushing and they just dominate the game. Just and Texas looked completely out of gas. So I guess Mike Gundy's there. Okay, I'm going to ask him. Mike Gundy, head coach of undefeated Oklahoma State, joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Were you resting Jalen Warren? Like, because it was this a plan to sit him in the third to play him in the fourth where he exploded in the fourth?
Doug, good to be on again with you. Hope you're doing good. So the best illustration for that is like they do with Michael Westbrook. So he plays throughout the game. They pull him out. Let him sit, let him rest, knowing that he's going to have to go back in with 5 or 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter to try to make a run to win the game. So he's gotten so many carries that we know we have to give him a break, and we try to pick when we do it to where we can just manage and then put him back in when we think we have to try to finish a game. And fortunately, it's worked for us.
It was unbelievable to watch. But let's start with this team. It's constructed so differently than so many of your teams in the past. Now, you had injuries to wide receivers, but like, look, your teams have always been dominant on offense, great skill position players, and then you just got to make enough plays defensively. This one is the defense has been unbelievable. The offense, until really Jalen kind of hit his stride a couple of games ago, was trying to find itself. Did you know this is what you had coming into the season?
We didn't feel this way until before the first game. We lost 2 starting wide receivers for the season. So we got put in a difficult situation. Then Tay Martin went out for a couple weeks. Then we had another wideout get hurt. So we were playing true freshmen at wideouts and then middle of the season, early to middle of the season. So it pushed us in a corner. And we had to slow the game down. And we had to be really good on defense, which we've been fortunate that we've been excellent on defense. And as I've said every week, I keep hoping that we can play that way. We've played at such a high level. I just, you know, at some point you think surely it's going to maybe go the other way on you, at least for a game. But for now, they're playing fantastic. We didn't know this was who we were going to be until we had the injury situation at wideout. Now we've got a couple of those guys back. And so we're starting to kind of get in our rhythm. Now we know what Jalen Warren is. The wideouts have been healthy 2 weeks in a row now, so they're getting a little bit of continuity. Spencer's starting to come along a little bit. He was stranded out there a while without those guys. We're wanting him to play better when he is in the pocket throwing the football. But we've been very fortunate. But we do have a really good group of guys that have been very disciplined and been very mentally and physically tough over the last month.
You gave credit to your defense, to Jim Knowles, for the call. You're down 17-3, and Texas is marching down the field, and it's looking bad. And Jason Taylor gets a pick 6 for a touchdown. It really saved you early on. What was the call? What was so special about what they saw and what they did to create that look where Casey Thompson threw the pass and Taylor took it to the house?
So in our opinion, a defensive secondary's ability to disguise coverages have become more prevalent now than ever in college football, because the defensive line, defensive end pass rush at this level over the last 2 or 3 years has gotten so good compared to the NFL, where the NFL pass rush has been good for 15 years. Now college, in my opinion, college defensive pass rushers are getting so athletic, and they have an ability to put quarterbacks under duress. So if secondaries can disguise coverage, by the time those guys can figure out what it is, we hope that they throw the ball where they're not supposed to throw it. So coach felt like that they were going to go to short intermediate stuff at this part on the field, which is what had been their history at that time. And so he said, I'm going to call this and I'm going to drop Jason down on the snap and see if we can catch him throwing it in the flat. And it's exactly what happened. I mean, I couldn't believe it. And obviously standing right there, he threw it right to him because he didn't see it, which happens. And then, and obviously he had to make the catch and run it in. And at that point, we needed that just from a momentum standpoint. We could have gone into the locker room down over 20 points and make it extremely difficult. So in a sense, it gave us life, gave us a chance to go in the locker room and say, guys, look, we're not down much at all here. Let's just stay the course.
You know, so you mentioned Spencer Sanders. I mean, he had a time there. You're still in the game in the third quarter, but he just was out of rhythm. You know, you're trying to dial layup throws for him, and he just he couldn't do it. This is a position you played. You've had great players. We had Brandon on earlier today, Brandon Whedon. You've had Zach Robinson. You've had pros play that for you. What's this been like for you to communicate with a kid who's very talented, but goes through these stretches where he really struggles to find that rhythm?
So, one of the issues is we're not protecting him well early in the game. So he gets out of rhythm and he doesn't set his feet and he has a poor base, poor balance.
Yeah.
When he's throwing the ball, because we're not protecting him early in the game. Now, that's no excuse, except by playing the position, I understand that. And so you almost have a biological clock going on in your head, like, okay, I'm going to have to get out of here because I'm not getting the protection I need. If we can protect him early, we did it against Kansas State, and he had a fantastic day. So if we can make him feel comfortable early, then we can use his ability and talent that he has in different ways to make him a better quarterback.
A decade ago, you went into Iowa State. There was a tragic plane crash with the women's basketball team that I know was really hard because of how connected the entire sports program is. But a decade ago, you go there, and you lose on a Friday night, and you end up still winning the league, going to the Fiesta Bowl, winning the Fiesta Bowl. Now you get another shot at it. I know it's different, and Iowa State's much better now than they were then, and you guys aren't as loaded now as you were then. But what can you personally, as a coach who's been doing this a long time, take from that experience to help you this Saturday?
You know, the interesting thing is, right now in our conference, Iowa State may be the best overall team, meaning they're playing way better now than they were a month ago. Their offense is good with maturity. Their quarterback's been there forever. All their linemen, their tight ends, they have a fantastic running back. And their defense is rolling now, going on like week four. So as a group, in all three phases, they might be playing the best in our league right now, arguably, whatever. We could already talk about it between where we are, and Oklahoma's fantastic on offense, so whatever. But they're really playing good right now. And we have a good team. The team we went in there with years ago, you're talking about, was a fantastic team. I thought was probably had a chance to win a national championship if we'd have got to that game. This team is not to that level on paper for the NFL.
Right.
But they play really well together. The defense has tons of experience and reps among them. And then with what physical toughness that Jalen Warren's bringing to our offense, we're starting to get into a role. And this is going to be a really, really good game with two really, really good college football teams.
I know you got to run, and I really appreciate your time, Coach. You know, obviously Oklahoma and Texas leaving the league, It hurts the league. I mean, it just does. There's no other way to express it, even with the new teams coming in that are really good programs. But Oklahoma specifically, for a kid who grew up in Oklahoma, his brothers played quarterback at Oklahoma, Bedlam this year, we don't know how many more of these they're going to be. What are those emotions like for you representing your school, knowing what Oklahoma's chosen to do?
Well, it's important to everybody in the state, and it shocked all of us. We would prefer that it not have happened. I'm very traditional. I would just assume that Nebraska and Missouri and A&M were still back in the league, for that matter. But it's not that way. We move forward. It's out of our hands. We can't control it. And what you said is accurate. Now, the teams we have coming in, they did a great job. You know, BYU is a good team every year. UCF's going to be going to be an issue. And then Houston's got a tremendous recruit base, and then Cincinnati's in the top 10 in the country. But they took a whack at us, and it's unusual that it's not going to be that way. You know, it's odd that we won't be playing Bedlam football. So our guys will look forward to the game. The good news for us is we don't play it till the end, and we're able to focus on everything to get up to that point. But it'll be a fun one. It was fun at Texas from a standpoint of going back down there. And yeah. I don't know if you've been there in a while, but, you know, they're putting 107 or something in that place. They just redid the south end of the stadium again. And, I mean, it's, you know, it's big time. I don't know what else to say about it. So, but our guys enjoyed being down there and being in that environment.
Yeah, well, you win 6 out of the last 7 times. That's, of course, yeah, that might as well be a home field advantage for you guys. Hey, Coach, safe travels to Ames. Can't wait to see the Pokes this weekend. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, Doug. Hope you and your family are well. I look forward to talking to y'all again soon. Thank you.
That's Mike Gundy, head coach of undefeated Oklahoma State.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
What up, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. The Doug Gottlieb Show is broadcast every single day from sunny Southern California. Doom, 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 doom. So yesterday, John McLean, reported that Deshaun Watson was expected to be traded sometime in the next week. And, you know, there's talk of the Miami Dolphins being the team. But the problem with the Miami Dolphins being the team would be, all right, what would that, does that mean Deshaun Watson is going to play? You know, what does the league do? Okay. The rumors are there's a 3-team deal, right? Where it'd be Miami would get Deshaun Watson, Washington would get Tua Tagovailoa, and the Texans would get a first next year from Miami, a second next year from Miami, a second from Washington, and then a third from Miami. So what does this all do? First of all, it lays out when a rumor like this comes out and the deal isn't done, a trade is close, okay, but not done. Trade is close, but not done. What it does is it throws out to any other team that wants Deshaun Watson, this is the actual price. It's like sticker price in a car. Huh? Like nobody pays sticker price in a car. Anybody paid sticker price in a car? So what? But you're trying to find out. Now there's websites that give you like what people are actually paying. Because what you do is you use their sticker price, and then they tell you this is invoice price. But then there's what's called holdback, which is how much they really pay. And then car dealerships also get incentives. You know, if you can sell a certain number of cars in a month, they get kickbacks from, you know, they get kickbacks from the big company. Additionally, if they can finance a certain number, every time they finance a car, they get a kickback. Why? Because you're going to make more on the finance cost. It all kind of works together. People don't pay sticker, but they also, the car dealership has to make some money somewhere in between the two, right? That's the magic price. And once you list what somebody actually paid, now it becomes a competitive marketplace. So when I say that a Deshaun Watson trade is felt and changes the entire league, what does that mean? What does it mean? Well, first, I don't think this will be, until this trade is consummated, it won't be the last rumored teams to be interested. But you got to think about it for a second. Now that means Washington And if you're Ryan Fitzpatrick, you're sitting there going like, wait a second, I'm already hurt. Taylor Heineke's already there. He's running around for his life. Now you're going to try Tua Tagovailoa? Like that? Now that's going to be your guy? So now what happens to the rest of their roster? The Texans then become players in the quarterback market. Do they go after Garoppolo in the offseason? They go after Garoppolo now? Or do they simply wait and see what the Miami first-round pick does, or if Miami can get Deshaun Watson? Otherwise, Miami's dead in the water, you know, playing backup quarterbacks and not being very good to begin with. Then you factor in that Carolina has said they're not interested. Maybe it's because it's too, you know, too expensive for their blood, too many picks and too much risk and whatever. Or maybe they actually like Sam Darnold, even though he didn't play particularly well this past weekend, although they had a ton of drops, and he threw some great balls on a last drive that they needed. They were there at their own four-yard line, completed a 40-yard ball on fourth down, like went down, scored a touchdown. But it means that other teams are going to engage, other teams will get involved, and it will signal to anybody who's starting for those teams, you're not our ultimate hope, you're not our ultimate choice. You're just kind of sitting around. I think this one, and it changes how we perceive off the field stuff. I don't know what the NFL is going to do. No one does. It stands to reason, though, that if Houston's able to trade him and Miami's able to take him on, that somebody has told someone he'll be okay. He'll be able to play eventually. Right? So I think there's wide-ranging, it's just two players being moved. But I think this is a wide-ranging thing. Because it would signify, okay, now Houston's in the market for a quarterback, which we assumed. Miami, though, wouldn't think Tua's good enough. Tua would now take up space and become the starter in Washington and likely the next year in Washington before they have to make a keeper cut bait decision. I'm sure Denver is going to be rumored in the mix as well as so many others. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but I feel like this is one where you start to feel like, heck, do the Pittsburgh Steelers sit there and go like, well, maybe we should get under this Deshaun Watson thing. You know, the Philadelphia Eagles have three first-round picks next year. If they can't get Deshaun Watson, or if they don't want Deshaun Watson, right? Like, couldn't they come off of two first-round picks when... Wouldn't the Houston Texans already prefer that anyway? Right. Now you know what the going rate is. It's only one first-round pick. It's two second-round picks and a third-round pick. All, by the way, next year, which shows you the timeline is different. Like, you know, this is not like in basketball where you have the Thunder and the Rockets and the Clippers or whatever and all these trades where you're having first-round draft picks for, like, the next 10 years. Like, nah, it's all next year. So I sit here and go, this is the Texans want a loaded draft for next year. It's obvious that this coming year's draft is where they're going to try and cut their teeth. If you're, this is a signal to Philadelphia. Hey, if you want to get in on this, the asking price is likely two firsts and a second. We already have somebody who's willing to play a first, two seconds and a third. If you can do better than that, we're willing to listen. And so, again, it affects your relationship with Jalen Hurts. It affects your relationship with Teddy Bridgewater. It affects your relationship with Taylor Heineke and Fitzpatrick. And it affects, obviously, Tua Tagovailoa and his career. This would be a wide-ranging deal, even if it only included three teams and two players being moved. Ram is redefining what a truck can be, leading in interior design, technology, and overall quality. So if you're buying a truck in the past, good luck. If you're buying a truck today, buy a Ram. Learn more about what Ram has to offer at ramtrucks.com. Am I making sense, guys? Do you think? Let me ask you, buyer, like what does a league do if he gets traded to Miami?
What does the NFL do?
Yeah,
I don't think anything. I think that he would play for the Dolphins until we find out more about the investigations. And that's what's interesting about the 2022 draft is it's not stockpiled with quarterbacks if they wanted to find their heir apparent, if the Texans did with this trade. So if you were to take that draft capital, maybe one of the quarterbacks you would get from that trade would be a, you know, one of the picks would be a quarterback, but it's not like it would be the, I mean, Matt Corral's name, maybe, you know, is one that's thrown up there is possibly, but it's not like a five quarterback draft like we've seen in the past. And the other thing with Philadelphia, if I can loop them in part of the conversation, the whole thing about Jalen Hurts is I'm starting to wonder, is are they putting too much on Jalen Hurts' plate trying to find out if he is the guy or not? Because it's almost this reverse effect where he's accounting for, you know, like 75 to 77% of their offense by just running or throwing the football. We saw it on full display against the Buccaneers when they didn't even really attempt to run the ball. They haven't done that in prior weeks with Miles Sanders. And I'm wondering, Doug, if they're sitting there, instead of being like, okay, we got to bring him along slowly, like, you know, maybe a Justin Fields or, and I know it's his second year, but it seems like they're giving him absolutely everything and more to see if they can if he can handle it in making a judgment. And I'm just wondering if it's maybe even just a little bit too much that Philadelphia is giving him.
I don't know. I think the running around is the problem with Jalen Hurts, is that you know, he has to run, and because he's just not accurate enough thrower. I think this becomes kind of a lost year for them, to be honest.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
You know, which is kind of what people expected. There was a little bit of false hope of some success early on. So I'm with you. I also think that the quarterback landscape possibly is changing with free agency, right? We've seen, you know, the Tom Brady types move before. But I don't think we've seen the volume of movement that we're going to see this off season, right? Tom Brady moved, end of his career, get it, that happens. Phillip Rivers moves, end of his career, get it, that happens. But Sam Darnold, starting quarterback to starting quarterback. Teddy Bridgewater, starting quarterback, one place Carolina, then starting quarterback to Denver. Carson Wentz, you know, starting quarterback in Philadelphia, becomes starting quarterback in Indy. Like, we've seen guys, you know, starters in the middle of their career move, and which hasn't happened previously. My guess would be that would probably, because this is not a quarterback heavy draft, which, by the way, also, if you're Philadelphia, why wouldn't you use those two of the first round picks? If you can get Deshaun Watson and you believe he'll play, why wouldn't you?